In less than 5 years, I'll be 40 years old, which is a really weird thing to hear myself say out loud. In my mind, I'm still in my mid-20s trying to figure out what my life is all about, and I have a sneaking suspicion that this feeling isn't going away anytime soon. In today's episode, Jason and I tackle the subject of aging, from the ever-changing shifts in our perspectives to our observations we have of others who are ahead of us, we'll uncover the humor and strangeness in our march through time. So whether you're 20, 40, 60, or beyond, join us as we laugh, ponder, and perhaps groan a little about the bizarre experience of this mystery called aging. You're listening to the Really Very Crunchy Podcast with your host, Emily.
And Jason. I have to say something that in the last episode, there's a lot more people who listen to this than watch this. I said something about, oh, I really like the ducks. And, well, just to be clear, there are ducks on the wall next to
us. Two duck paintings. Oh,
prints. They're prints. They're not original art.
I know.
and they are currently facing each other on the wall. Would we go, if we were mad at each other, would we go through the process of actually switching the
Well, we kind of had a little spat before we started this, and we didn't switch it, so maybe this is just, like, good vibes of
the conversation to come.
Get on the same page. Face each other.
Well, we are. And so today, as you noted, we are talking about aging. This was your idea to talk about aging. Is there any particular reason, Emily, why you wanted to, are you feeling like sad about life or?
Well, no.
What's got you thinking about aging?
I sort of felt like I was getting older. This year is the first year that I've actually felt like I'm getting older. And I kind of felt like, okay, I need to start exercising regularly. I've always been pretty active, you know, we ride bikes, we take walks, we jump on the trampoline with our kids, but I just like felt a shift. And so I felt like I needed to be more intentional. And I don't know, something about your 37.
Oh, and telling the world. Yeah. You're like, I'll be 40 in less than 5 years. My husband, on the other hand,
Less than three years.
Oh, man, that's weird. 40. You know, when I was a kid, 40 sounded ancient.
Really?
Oh, it didn't to you?
Not really.
Oh.
I thought it sounded like mom age, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a mom. Feels right.
Yeah. Okay. Mom age. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I never really thought about it. Just like, I don't know. When I was a kid, everybody was 40, I think.
I met a girl who is 40, and me being awkward, like, why do I have to start the conversation with, oh, are you guys decided not to have kids? Like, that's so annoying. You know, the people, like, before you get married, they're like, mm-hmm. When are you going to have kids? And then at some point they give up and they're like, oh, you're not going to have kids or whatever. I just remember being so annoyed about it because we kind of started late.
Well, how long
on
did
having
we
kids.
Wait?
We got married when I was 21 mm-hmm. and I had Oaks when I was 29. So
right.
8 years of, when are you guys going to have a baby? Are you going to have a baby? How many babies do you want? When are you going to do it?
But
anyway.
It didn't, well, just to be clear, the questions didn't come like at 23 or 24. 25. It came at, you're 21. It came at 21.
Immediately.
The questions came immediately. When are you guys going to have a baby?
Yeah.
When's the baby?
So anyway, I don't know what gives people the right to think they, like, that is their business.
What gives you the right?
And I did it though. So anyway, I met this girl. She didn't look 40, for the record. And I was like,
what
so
does 40
just
look like, though?
Exactly. Yeah. I think now people are looking younger, or maybe it's just because we're closer. Anyway, she was like, oh, my kids are grown. I was like, what? She has two kids already out of the house. Like, in college. And so I do feel a little behind in that respect.
See, that okay, there's two sides of that. Because to me, it's like, I don't want 20 23-year-old Jason to be the father of our two boys. Mm-hmm. I just don't. I mean, he was
an idiot. Your prefrontal cortex isn't even fully developed until you're 25.
Well, mine just developed last year.
Is it developed?
It might not be developed. I'm still working on it. Exactly. There's that side, 23-year-old Jason, dad of my two boys now. I'm not liking the picture. For me, and yeah. I'm not saying that's true for everybody. There are people who are a lot more mature than I was.
I feel like we were generally pretty immature in the way that I think we were more self-centered.
Okay.
Like we weren't ready to give up that. And so I think we would have made parenting decisions based on ourselves.
Yeah.
More than like what's best for the kids. Maybe, I don't know, we weren't there. Maybe right. You just have a perspective shift like as soon as the baby is born.
Yeah.
But I can see myself making certain decisions that now I have convictions about, like minimizing their screen time or mm-hmm. like just making sacrifices that I'm not sure I would have made when I was 21, 22 years
old. Would our kids, if we had had kids immediately, would our kids have iPads right now?
Likely. Don't you think?
Probably. Well, yeah. I mean, we certainly wouldn't have gone on the journey that we've had.
Mm-hmm.
For better or worse.
When we were, I mean, we talked about this briefly in the last episode. All the Stouffer's we ate.
Mm-hmm.
All that Stouffer's. We would totally have picky kids right now.
Yeah.
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 Eating highly palatable foods constantly.
Shouldn't all food be palatable?
Highly palatable.
We opt for the disgusting food in our health. Not true, because you're a wonderful cook, actually. But explain that really quick. I know that's off topic a little bit, but...
just foods that were made to...
Taste good?
Yeah. Well, cause, like, basically an addiction. We talked about this last time, Jason,
with highly the Oreos. Highly palatable food?
They are like as addictive as cocaine. And...
I cut that part out.
Oh.
You didn't want
You're
me to put
the editing me out, Jason?
You didn't want me to put something in about drugs.
Are you going
to
edit this out?
We'll see. Maybe we should start like a Patreon. If you want to hear Emily talk about cocaine and Oreos, subscribe.
There isn't cocaine in Oreos. I was saying there.
And Oreos.
The cream is as addictive. I can't believe I'm like covering this again. Anyway, it's a highly palatable food. It's probably has additives, MSG, whatever it takes to make you want more of it.
As opposed to broccoli that is not palatable.
It is palatable.
It's just not highly palatable.
Okay.
It's
highly palatable
does it
to me.
Does it become highly palatable when you put butter and salt on it?
Probably. Also, let's talk about aging.
Sorry. Well, hey, I mean, the food we eat matters in aging. I think, personally, I prefer what we have done in terms of where we had kids at our age. But, hindsight's 20/20. Who knows? I mean, it could have been... Great. It'd be kind of nice to have our kids are in college almost. And then
I'm not that age yet. Well, I mean, we could have 13 or 14 year old.
Yeah.
That's not quite almost college.
Okay. They're getting, they're about to go through high school mm-hmm. or something.
Yeah.
You know, I could see that being a decent age for that.
Definitely.
Because by the time our kids are in high school, I would be an old dad.
We are going to be a little old.
We're going to be a little bit old
parents.
But
that's why we're exercising now, Jason.
That's why, yeah. Yeah.
So we can keep up with them.
Well, that is a huge thing. And I'd like to get into that later because I have not exercised in like the last, 20 years.
That's not true. Last week you exercised.
Once. Once. And I couldn't move my body for like half of last week. I hate working out so much.
I'm actually getting better. So on Tuesdays, so I don't know if I've told you, the listener,
Oh.
I wake up at 4:45 so that I can go to a barre class, which is like a ballerina workout, I guess is what they call it, most days. And the first time I did it, oh my goodness, I couldn't walk. I couldn't lift my, like, I was walking like a fool. I mean, waddling, could barely go upstairs.
It was a sight to see.
It was crazy and lasted multiple days,
Yeah.
even though I kept going.
See, that's what I can't bring myself to do is when I'm feeling that way, I can't hardly go back to it and then work something else out that's going to make me waddle.
It hurt really bad. But now, see, on Tuesdays, this girl named Hannah teaches. My friend and I who go together, we call her Hard Hannah because she is so hard.
Yeah.
But we, I like, I don't even feel it. And I know that I worked myself as hard, and I did feel it in it. Like it was hard. I worked myself to fatigue. But now, like a day later, I
You
don't
recover
even,
much faster.
yeah.
Yeah, I haven't reached that yet. I still hate it. I
You
hate
can
every
do it,
second of
Jason.
it.
I believe in you.
Comments of the week. We've got a few of them and a few clarifications to make, I think. First one comes from Facebook, from the video we released, Trude, which is a common word we use actually
We use
whenever
that
we're
all the
being
time.
rude and true with e or true and rude. Saying something that's true but also rude equals
Trude.
yes.
We have done that for probably 10 years.
Natalie Bentley from Facebook on the Trude video says, "My husband has to ask me which limes in our fridge are the pit limes." That's amazing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Natalie is on board. I can't believe I was reading my book the other day, and there's a section where I
You just
talk
sit
about.
there and read your book. I'm so proud of myself. I'm gonna
No.
read chapter four today.
Listen, I was reading it for a purpose, and there's a part where I talk about making like crunchy swaps that will make you hungry. And it's like cocoa powder for dry shampoo and beets for blush. I didn't include limes for deodorant, and limes are the best natural deodorant I have ever used. I have about given up on natural deodorant before, and limes totally work. But Natalie, let me give you a little piece of advice. Squeeze the lime into your water and then just use that little slice as your deodorant, and then you can throw the lime peel into your woods as I do.
We're talking like wedges, not halves. Kind of
Yeah,
thing.
like I can't imagine why you would need pit limes
Right.
because I just use the juice. But I guess maybe it holds the juice longer. Maybe I should be stretching out my limes. Natalie is more sustainable than I am.
Wow. It seems right, though, to use it as a double use. You use it in your
Squeeze,
drink.
wipe, toss.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Okay.
The big question we get about that quite a bit, what about people? Inevitably, who shave their pits, does it burn?
I'm not a consistent armpit shaver, but when I do shave and use it, it hasn't been an issue. It hasn't burned for me. Now, I feel slightly responsible for like putting out this warning because there are going to be people out there who go out, put limes on their armpits for deodorant, and then like try to sunbathe, but it
Ooh.
can make your skin photosensitive.
Okay.
So keep
Which
your
shouldn't
armpits
typically
covered.
be a
I wouldn't
problem.
think you would like be putting on lime juice and then the type of person to go out and expose your armpits very clearly to the intense bright sunshine, but maybe. So don't do that because I think it can cause some weird skin issues.
Nora Block's mom, 4456, says, "I don't understand people that don't bathe. I don't understand not wanting." No, sorry. "I understand not wanting heavy scented soaps, but please find some unscented soap and water." I think we got a day bather here. Daily
Daily
bather.
bather.
Daily bather.
I don't understand how people have time to daily bathe.
Yeah, I mean, you just get up and
What about your hair? Are you using a blow dryer then? Is that what's happening? Because we all know the crunchy mom can't daily do that.
yeah.
I can't just be walking around with wet hair all the time.
Right.
There's a whole process.
What do you think your
So.
average is? In the video, it said we said something about four days. But what do you think your actual average is?
Do you think it's 4 days? Do you think it's longer? You think it's longer?
It depends on the week.
I don't just walk around nasty, though. So my grandma used to call it a PTA bath. Pits.
Rhymes with. Yeah.
Rhymes with. And I can't say it.
Yeah.
So
PTA.
PTA.
Just use your imagination.
Yes. And you could. That's definitely like worthy of daily bathing. Those things for sure. Just get a warm washcloth and.
Okay.
Start with the pits.
Move on to the, and then the.
Yeah. Okay,
sounds good. All right. Well, in a moment, I have an article to go over with you. It has to do with aging, but first, we're going to take a break. So I have a couple of articles for you. They are definitely relevant to today's topic. It's two of them, but of course, I'm not going to read through the whole thing, but I just kind of wanted to get your reaction because these are two, at the time, the oldest living men in the world, giving tips on how to live the longest, happiest life. So we have the most recent person from Business Insider, 111-year-old is now the world's oldest living man. Here are his three tips for living a long, happy life. His name is John Tenniswood, oldest World War II veteran, where he organized food supplies for stranded soldiers. That's pretty cool.
That is cool.
This guy retired in 1972.
Okay.
I mean, he's been retired longer than I've been alive. Like, by 15 years. That's crazy. Like, what do you do with that? Like, I'm retired. Oh, how long's it been? 50 years. I've been retired for 50 years. Tenniswood, it's a cool name. I like it. Is unfazed by his new title, as any 111-year-old would be. Like, I don't care. Telling Guinness World Records, doesn't make any difference to me at all. I accept it for what it is. That is so typical.
Like the people who don't care are the ones who get it.
I know. Well, like that's probably the hallmark feature of a person who just doesn't care about their aging. Well, I don't care. Well, of course you don't. You have Hakuna Matata, you know? That's why. No stress. So he said, if you drink too much or eat too much or you walk too much, if you do too much of anything, you're going to suffer eventually, he said. He doesn't follow a specific diet, telling Guinness World Records, I eat what they give me. I think he's in a home, but I eat what they give me and so does everybody else, apart from fish and chips, the British classic for dinner every Friday.
He doesn't eat the fish and chips?
That's what it sounds like. he eats what they give me, but he doesn't eat the fish and chips.
Okay. Fridays. Well, I mean, as the person who cooks most of the food for this household, I can get behind that. Like,
yeah.
Eat what I give you, yeah. And you'll live a long time.
Well, I mean, that's the attitude I take.
Yeah.
It's like, I just eat what she gives me.
I wish I could say that. Sometimes that would be nice.
Well,
But I think he's onto something there. Life is about balance.
Yeah.
Don't do too much of anything.
Well, he goes on to say, but no matter what you're doing, always do the best you can, whether you're learning something or whatever you're teaching someone. Give it all you've got. Otherwise, it's not worth bothering with. And then he says, you either live long or you live short. And you can't do much about it.
Wow.
So, that is that's one guy's perspective.
I like his perspective. And I think that's really good for me to hear because I'm someone, and this is a little like vulnerable for me to admit, but I am afraid of dying.
Yeah.
I have always been afraid of dying. You just said Hakuna Matata made me like a little triggered because The Lion King was probably the first thing that initiated that fear. Do you Do you want to finish your
article? No, I have
first?
I have another article, but we'll get to it. This is good. Go for it.
Okay. I don't know, when did Lion King come out? 94?
1994.
Okay, yeah. I was 6 years old. Saw it and immediately was terrified that my parents were going to die.
Because of Mufasa.
Yeah. Disney.
Spoiler alert.
Disney does that, though. They're like, let's write a good story. Kill off the parents.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so Mufasa died. Like, afterwards, I was bawling my eyes out.
Well, it's so tragic because they set it up to be for you to bawl your eyes out. Okay, Disney might kill off parents or whatever, but they don't usually have the dad and the son wrestling together. Mm-hmm. We'll always be together, right? Mm-hmm. And like 15 minutes later, like, nope.
He's gone.
James Earl Jones just died.
Well,
Mufasa just died.
Anyway, Jason, misinformation.
James Earl Jones is still alive, I believe, at the time of this recording.
I asked my dad, like, Dad, told him, I don't want you to die, Dad. And what do you think his reply was, Jason? Was it, don't worry.
Knowing your
it's
dad?
It's just a movie. He said, every minute we're alive, we're 1 minute closer to death. Okay, I'm 6 years old. I don't even know if I really comprehend death.
He's
apparently
not wrong.
I do. I know he's not wrong.
He's just speaking
but it was
truth
like,
to you.
Fear unlocks. And from that point on, I had multiple panic attacks constantly about death. And it just like made me very aware of my mortality.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I like Tenniswood. Was that his name?
I believe it's Mr. Tenniswood, yeah.
I like his outlook, like you're either going to live long or you're not. Take it. I like, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And I think there's nothing you can do about it. Well, there are some things you can
there's
do.
There's nothing you can do about it. And I'm not eating the fish and chips. I tend to fall on more Mr. Tenniswood's mode of thinking than you do, though I'm not quite there. Like, you know, I still see the decades moving by, you know, and it's unsettling to me more than Mr. Tenniswood, probably not as much to you as it is to you, just based on our conversations. But
yeah, well, you know, I'm a worrier a little bit.
It's not good.
It's not good at all. That's really bad for you.
Yeah.
To worry.
All right. Are you ready to hear about the next guy?
I am.
I think this one's USA Today. This is from May 2018. The headline is, he smokes, he drinks, he enjoys life. America's oldest man turns 112. So at the time of the thing, he's a year older than Mr. Tenniswood. Richard Overton was 112 years old when he held the title. According to a recent profile in the Dallas Morning News, Overton's path to longevity isn't what most doctors would recommend. he drives and walks without a cane.
Drives
at 112. Yeah, I maybe this isn't the nicest thing to say, but I think like I don't know. Maybe at 100, you just automatically get it taken away. Maybe.
Not taken away, but maybe retested. I don't know.
No. 100, just no. just give me your license. No. The answer is no.
That's rude. I'm just shocked. Like, more power to him. That's wonderful. That's great.
It's dangerous for everybody else.
I think I'm probably going to be the type of lady who stops driving at 60. Buckle up, Jason. I'm going to be
well,
Miss
as long
Daisy.
As I'm around. Otherwise, you're just going to be annoying your kids.
That's true.
During a television interview in March, he told a reporter that he doesn't take medicine, smokes cigars every day, and takes whiskey in his morning coffee. He smokes, according to this, a dozen cigars per day.
No. That's pretty incredible that he's not on any pharmaceuticals.
He's on cigars. He's on nicotine.
Wow.
And
I mean, they do say that stress is one of the top killers. He clearly is not stressed. He is just living his life.
You know what his secret to longevity is? He's quoted as saying, "Just keep living, don't die." That's, you know, I never thought of that.
Just
it's
keep
a good
living,
idea.
Just keep living, just living, keep... living, living, living.
Quote, "I may drink a little in the evening, too, with some soda water, but that's it." So he's got whiskey in his coffee, but also some in the evening. Whiskey's a good medicine. Keeps your muscles tender.
Hmm.
I don't know what the science is behind that, but maybe.
And whiskey is a good medicine, though. We use it as a medicine. We drink a hot toddy.
Yeah, for stress.
No.
I'm just kidding.
That is not true. We'll pour a little, or is it bourbon that we use?
Bourbon whiskey, yeah.
With a little bit of ginger, and what else do we put in there? Cayenne, honey.
Yeah.
And just put it all, mix it all together.
Oh, when you're sick, it's like...
Like a health shot, that's what we call them.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. In addition, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. In addition to his somewhat unorthodox habits, Overton stays busy throughout the day, trimming trees, helping with horses, and never watches television.
There's the key.
There's the key. There it is.
No screen time.
No screen time.
Look at
time.
Him. He's outside.
Yeah.
He's definitely getting his 1,000 hours outside.
He's gotten his
trimming trees and helping with the horses and driving around
and giving them all secondhand smoke with his 12 cigars a day.
That's like one every hour he's awake.
He could have just been like, "I'm going to tell him that I smoke 12 cigars a day and drink tons of whiskey." It's like, no, I'm actually a vegetarian and, you know, I run every day and I'm super healthy. He's like, "I'm going to show them. They'll never reach my level. Eat your heart out, Mr. Tennis Wood.
Just keep living.
Just keep living." Well, yeah, those are two very different perspectives on how to live longer.
Mm-hmm.
But the common theme, you think, is just...
Don't worry.
Don't worry.
Just live.
Worked out for Bob Marley.
Didn't he die really young?
Yeah. There's some conspiracies about all that, I think.
I remember my brother saying something about melanoma in his toe.
But it was an assassination?
I don't know. So I think one difference between them and us is that they don't necessarily have anything that could influence their longevity. And I think that's one thing that inspired me to want to talk about aging is your polycystic kidney disease and your concerns with how it might affect your life in the future. But let's talk about that after this break.
Well, we're coming back on a depressing note.
Sorry.
It's like, well, okay, so I just wanted to talk about how you're probably going to die early. That's why I wanted to talk about aging.
No, I just think it's kidding. A really interesting thing. We live this really natural and holistic lifestyle, but eventually we are going to have to rely on modern medicine to get you a new kidney.
Potentially.
Probably. Maybe.
Yeah.
Hopefully not, actually. Yeah. So polycystic kidney disease is when your kidneys are just covered in cysts and eventually the trend would be that they would shut down and fail.
Correct.
And that's what happened to your dad.
Yes.
When he was 40 years old.
Yeah. So he was 40, 41. I'm not 100% sure when he had to have the transplant. And I was like 5 or 6 years old. Yeah, it was crazy. Well, the cool part of that story is that my mom was a match for him.
A perfect match.
A perfect match.
Because that kidney lasted 20 years?
Yeah.
Or longer?
Well, longer. It would be longer. It would be closer to 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which is like almost unheard of for a kidney transplant.
Right, which they've gotten better now. Mm-hmm. The transplants and anti-rejection medicine, things like that, have gotten better. But yeah, my mom was a perfect match. Apparently, it was like a 1 in a million chance for that to happen.
That is incredible.
It's a really cool story.
Your dad used to joke that he keeps her around for spare parts.
Yes,
it's my favorite.
Yeah. So the thing is, I mean that. polycystic kidney disease is not technically, my father passed in 2016. It's not, and he was 67 years old. It's not technically what he died from, but obviously the things that he had to go through because of his kidney disease, polycystic kidney disease, he had to be on certain medicines that caused other illnesses reactions. That then he had to have other medicines to fix those, which his immune system was bad towards his later 60s, and infections eventually took hold. So, but at the root of it, we know that, well, if it weren't for polycystic kidney disease, well, then he probably wouldn't have gone through all of that, and he'd probably still be alive. And so
here's the thing, though. Your kidneys are functioning great. We do know that they are covered in cysts.
Yes.
That's a whole, like, different story. When we were younger, before we had kids, I sort of pressured you into finding out if you had polycystic kidney disease.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you really wanted to find out. You were more on the camp of, like, I'll just wait and see what happens. And I was sort of like, but what if we could do something preventative?
Right. Well, there wasn't anything, to my knowledge at the time, we were just thinking, like, well, there's nothing I could do about it.
And there really isn't.
Not but- really. The big thing is keeping your blood pressure under control. And, you know, there's some anecdotal studies of, like, intermittent fasting, helping, ketogenic diets, helping prevent the growth of cysts. I've not done either of those because you I just get grumpy.
Yeah, you've attempted, but then it's like sort of miserable for our family.
So. Yeah, because I can't control my mood whenever I'm hungry. I get the most, like, the person who needs to be intermittent fasting the most is the hangriest person in the world. So I'd turn into the Hulk and start throwing things. No, I'm just kidding.
You don't, but you want to, I think. I saw it in your eyes this morning. We had oatmeal for breakfast and you didn't want oatmeal because you're like, that's just not your vibe. And then about an hour later, you were getting grumpy and you got up and made yourself some eggs because you're just like,
Yeah. I wish I could get past that. But to be fair, though, there's not like hard evidence that that even works.
Yeah.
So there are drugs on the market that help prevent cysts, but the side effects are like so terrible. And the doctor that I go to even said, like, you know,
last resort.
Doesn't even want me on it until I'm like at 20% functionality, but I'm at like 90.
Yeah.
Which is a different story than my dad's.
Yeah. But he did tell you that it sort of follows the lineage, right? Like,
correct.
But it's not turning out to be that way. And maybe it's because you're making healthy choices.
Healthy choices. I do keep my blood pressure under control, which he didn't even know he had it. And so high blood pressure, you don't necessarily know you even have it. And that's really bad for your kidneys. Mm. And so I've had it under control for, thanks to you, about 10 years. And so when I look at aging, I look at it a little differently because I think, well, there's a good chance, percentage-wise, there's a good chance I don't make it to average life expectancy. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just looking at some notes here. Polycystic kidney disease, life expectancy between 53 and 70, which, you know, average old age is still low 70s for most people at this point. So there is that chance of just normal average lifespan. People getting into their 80s, 90s, not very common. Basically, it works out that I have a 50-50 chance of making it to 73 years old.
Wow.
According to statistics. Mm-hmm. Now, so I look at aging like I'm pushing 40 in the next 3 years, that's not the best outlook for me. It's like, I feel like I am sprinting to get to a place in life where I feel good about what I've done, but feel good about where I'm at, how I've been able to provide for my family and for my kids. And that's another part of what I regret about being an older parent, is that if there's, which I didn't know when I was young, but if there's a, if my, if I'm not going to make it to 60, well, that really stinks for my kids.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many layers right here that I sort of want to dissect
Go
because,
for it. I'm an open book.
first of all, before we had kids, someone advised us not to have kids because you have polycystic kidney disease,
Right.
and so not to pass that on. But you said, well, I'd rather be alive and live the life that I've had with polycystic kidney disease than not ever get the chance to live.
Yeah. No, the moment they told me that, I thought the very first thought I had was like, well, I wouldn't have chosen to not be alive just because I have po- It doesn't really affect my everyday life yet. It probably will. And it does a lot of people. They're coming from a perspective of like, you don't want to pass on the genes to other for it to continue on, to eradicate the disease, stop having children. And I'm like, no, that's weird. That sounds a little, I don't know, eugenicsy.
Then the other thing, like the other layer of this, is that one of the reasons you wanted to start really very crunchy was because you were sort of worried about me. If something did happen to you,
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of applicable life skills.
Board comm major. You
Yeah, we
have
talked
great
about this the last
communication,
time.
great communication
I'm
skills.
not going to get a job that's really well paying
Yeah.
or, most likely, being a single working mom thrust into the throes of hardship. So you sort of had this idea, like if we could make this platform turn into something, then there would be a level of security for me.
Yeah.
And I feel like you have experienced an immense amount of relief over that.
Yeah. Well, this is just my attempt at you not having to ever remarry after I die. I don't know. I'm just kidding.
You know, when
I
I
want you
met
to
you,
marry for love, not for money.
thanks. When I met you, you told me where you parked your car. Did I already tell this story on the podcast?
No.
When I met you, you told me where you parked your car. And I walked over there for some weird reason just to kind of see what it was.
Yeah.
And in that moment, I decided, well, this is for love, certainly not for money. You had a 1993 Toyota Paseo and
I
the
missed that
front
car.
light was busted out.
Hey, no, I had a flashlight
No,
in it.
that was my idea. I told you to do that. Tape a flashlight in and turn it on every time you're going
That
so
was
that you don't
actually
get
so I
pulled over.
wouldn't get pulled over,
Yeah.
right? Yeah.
And it was genius and it
Well, it
totally
worked
worked.
because I got pulled over for it. But before I
Before you
had
did the
that,
flashlight?
yeah, but not since the flashlight.
Yeah, you didn't have the flashlight because this was my first time seeing your car. And I knew that I was marrying for love or in this relationship for love.
Yeah, well, that's sweet of you.
But I can't guarantee that I would do that again.
Yeah. Well, you still haven't married for money yet, so not there yet, sweetie. Maybe one day. Well, to get away from the depressing note of my impending doom in the next decade, how do you feel about people who have, there's usually falls in like the billionaire type of people, but like there's this subset of people who are like looking, and of course in science too, but they're looking for like this miracle drug or miracle way to just stay alive forever.
Aren't people like freezing themselves
Well, there's
or
the cryogenics. Yeah,
is that a
that's
thing? Are
that.
people doing it? Has someone done it?
Yes.
What?
But the thing is, they don't know if they can wake them up. So they freeze themselves to before the technology is available to be revived in hopes that the technology becomes available for them to be revived.
I think it's a bad idea.
I don't know.
Okay, so let's say they're 50.
Think Walt Disney did it.
What?
I think so.
Okay, let's just say
I
they're
could be
50.
wrong, but.
Then they wake up and then they have no family. Like their loved ones are gone.
Get new ones.
They You're just going to be
living forever now.
Think about your emotions that you're going to feel in that. And then what if it's like you wake up, but then suddenly have all these health complications because you were frozen for so long?
I imagine that that's likely.
Yeah.
And the way I think it
works.
What
about like muscle atrophy?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know the science behind it or what they the
that's
proposed
our job
science.
As a podcast host, Jason.
What, to research something that you bring up randomly that I was not anticipating at all? Yeah, okay, I'll work on it. However, I have read on this a little bit, and apparently, for all the people who are frozen, when they get to the revival process, they start reviving people from back to front. Or so the most recent person who was frozen becomes the first person unfrozen. So the first person frozen is like the last person unfrozen because I'm assuming they think the most recent person has the better chance of surviving the process. That's
oh,
my
I
guess.
See. I thought it was because they had the least amount of chance.
Right.
And the first person was the first one to try. So,
I don't know. Yeah. Would you do it?
No.
If you had the money.
No.
Like if it's...
Never. No. No, I'm not interested in that. This is getting a little philosophical and...
Yeah.
I mean, there are lots of things we could talk about there, but...
Yeah.
Anyway, what were you going to say about... You mentioned billionaires.
Oh, well, there's this guy, Brian Johnson. He's in the news right now. He was the owner of Venmo, apparently.
It's a pretty clever app to create.
Sold Venmo for like $800 million, something like that. Founded a company called Blueprint. And his whole thing now is to try to... He's 46 years old, and he's trying to essentially learn how to live forever. According to articles, he has I don't know how they come up with this stuff. The lungs of an 18-year-old.
How did he do that?
Holding
his breath a lot?
I have no idea.
Blowing up a lot of balloons?
He does a lot of experiments. The heart of a 37-year-old.
Hmm.
So he has the heart like mine.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not. Mine's probably more like a 46-year-old.
From all that lack of exercise.
Right. The skin of a 28-year-old. How do they get so specific?
That's weird.
Not quite the skin of a 27-year-old, but a 28-year-old.
Definitely 28. I wonder if it has to do with like the suppleness, the texture. Does he have pimples?
I don't know.
I was still getting pimples in my 20s.
The gum inflammation of a 17-year-old. I don't know. This is what the article said. I don't write these things. One weird thing about the whole thing, though, that was a little unsettling to me. And again, I'm just getting articles. So he's getting blood transfusions from his teenage son.
Weird.
It's a little strange. But I mean, you know.
Feels like that movie, Mad Max. Weren't they like doing something weird with, was it milk or something?
Fury Road.
That movie was so weird. It haunts me.
Cool
like,
movie.
I have nightmares about that movie.
Do you have nightmares about any movie that has anything slightly disturbing in it?
Whatever. I feel like there was something with blood or I don't know. It
there
feels
was milk.
Like a little leechy.
There was milk.
For him to be taking his son's...
It's different. It's a weird... Like, I mean, I don't know all the, you know... I don't know the whole story.
So if you can just find a teenage host, you could live forever.
Gosh.
Like, are we
vampire-y? That's why we have kids. It's like, well, hey, we're going for our weekly transfusions. Let's come on.
Actually, I 100? Only had you because you're going to give me one of your kidneys.
Hey, with all the stuff, people are trying to live forever. Whatever. What we come to in science, pretty much what we've found is... You're, apart from a few anomalies, you're going to live to your 80s, sometimes 90s. Aside from tragedy.
Yeah.
And no matter what anybody does, so far there hasn't been any getting around that.
Well, Jason, you know, other countries have higher life expectancies. So
sure.
Then there's this whole idea of the blue zones and whatever. But then some people say that's a scam because it's like, the industry that doesn't want you eating meat and There are like so many layers and conspiracies, and I don't really know all of it. I do know that other countries have higher life expectancies, and some of the things that the Blue Zones say are true, like eating the Mediterranean diet or having a garden, walking instead of driving.
Well, I would say that, and when you're talking about the crunchy stuff, like healthy eating, an active lifestyle, being outdoors, things like that, it's not even so much about the, I think a misconception is that people think that it's about living longer. It's like Brian here trying to live to 150 or 200 years old. It's not so much that as it is just your quality
of life. Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, that's a huge thing. Your quality of life matters.
Definitely.
I think the idea is more that you have, let's say, 80 years on this planet.
Live it well. Yeah, don't be in constant pain. Headaches daily, that's not normal.
Yeah.
You know, there are so many symptoms that people are seeking healing from, and sometimes the answer is quite simple.
Yeah. Not always.
Yeah. Not always, for sure. There are plenty of complications, plenty of anomalies, and sadly, weird diseases and things like tick-borne illnesses and whatever right. that you cannot control. But generally, sometimes the answer is pretty straightforward. Like, eat healthy, exercise.
The two things that tend to be hardest for most people.
Mm-hmm. Drink enough water.
Right. Yeah. What is something that you think you could do moving forward to ease your anxiety about aging? Because I haven't been anxious about aging
mm-hmm.
pretty much at all until I've had kids.
Mm-hmm.
Even with the polycystic kidney disease, I haven't really, it doesn't occupy my mind a lot. But you know, about once a month or so, I start to see how big Alder's getting, or I start to see how big Oaks is getting, and I see time going by, and it seems so cliche, but like, since we've had kids, time has just gone by so fast, it's alarming to me.
I know.
And so the more I see that, the more anxious I get just about time in general.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even a fear of death for me. It's more of a just, I'm running out of time.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm 37. And I know that there's potentially medical advances that I might not even have to worry about PKD. I understand that. But just in general, what do you think? I mean, how do you think there's any antidote to just not worrying about time slippage?
See, it's funny because since I've had kids, I feel less anxious about the time passing, but more anxious about like a random tragic death.
Oh.
Like, I don't even worry about me getting older. I'm worried about getting in a car accident and them being left without a mother.
Oh.
Like, that's what I think about in terms of death. I'm really, my anxiety of just general death has minimized quite a bit.
Interesting.
I just don't want there to be a tragedy, especially for my kids.
Right.
You know? And I mean, I think about it for my parents. I think about it for like anyone in our family. I don't want my kids to have to experience that. That would be so hard.
Yeah.
And I also think about them and, like, just parents who have lost little ones. Like, just the strength it takes to face each day. That would be nearly impossible for me, you know? So those are my fears.
And so what can we do to sort of alleviate those fears? Or do they even go away?
Yeah, I mean, just trust that there's a plan and that you aren't in control, and that's okay. And there's nothing you can do. Like, don't worry about tomorrow.
Yeah. I will
Tomorrow.
say, I mean, I don't want to become old, but I want to be old when I get there. Mostly because a lot of the friends we've had over the years have been older people, and they've been wonderful to be around, and I love their perspective.
Anyway, we met these really sweet friends,
Yeah.
and they have become like lifelong friends for us.
Yeah.
We've kept in contact for 12, 14 years, 12 years. And
A lot of the friends we've made over the years have been at least over the age of 60. And I don't really know why that's the case, but it's been kind of wonderful.
I think it's one reason is that they are no longer in the rat race.
Yeah.
They don't care. And also, they've like eased up. They're gentle. They're not judging. You know, they are kind of set in their ways and realize like, this is my lot in life and this is where I am and come to accept it. So,
They live a more, they're more, they seem more satisfied. Whereas we haven't left that part of our life where we're just satisfied, content with how things are. Which I don't know if that's just a personality thing or if that ever leaves you. Or if it's just a type of person. I don't know. I don't know. I can't see myself ever being co just completely like, I feel good about how things are now.
Really?
Not moving on to anything else. I
I
don't
feel pretty good. I could plant some more flowers, but
I do think that you're the personality type to be happy where you
content.
are given the certain circumstance. Yeah. Me, I'm always like, what can we do next? Let's build something. Not with my hands. I'm
Not
terrible.
physically,
No, I
because
can't
I
build anything.
totally asked you to build me more raised beds and it hasn't
I
happened.
can't
So
even hold a screwdriver. But
everything you ever try to put together, you end up having to do it twice.
even really very crunchy.
Well, sort of, because TikTok's kind of abandoned us. I think you're right. It might be a personality thing. But also, I just think old people are cool. Old
Yeah.
people are, they're wise.
They have so much to tell. I just
They've experienced it. It's like something you have to earn.
Yeah.
But people always tell us we're old souls.
Yeah, they do.
So,
I don't know if it's true or not, but
yeah.
feels nice when they say it.
Yeah, I feel like one of our kids is an old soul.
Yeah, which one?
Who do you
Oaks?
think? Yeah,
Yeah.
totally.
He's
He
an old
seems
soul.
very wise and just sensitive and empathetic. I think empathy is a huge part of it.
So you do a lot
Maybe
better than me.
that's one of the secrets
Yeah.
to living long.
Well, you have anxiety, but you have empathy. I don't have the anxiety, but lack the empathy. Not completely.
Yeah.
I'm not a sociopath.
No. But you also have like such a deep caring for your close family, and I think that occupies your mind more.
Yeah.
And I'm like more thinking about other people,
Yeah.
even people I don't know. I can get super bent out of shape when they're experiencing tragedy, and it's like I don't even know that person.
Yeah.
But it affects me deeply.
I care about my wife, my two kids, and Simba. Yeah. Cry every time.
We did show our kids The Lion King recently
I
on
think
one of our Friday night movies
that's
because.
what sparked this conversation,
Oh,
honestly.
really?
Probably.
Well, so Simba and Mufasa were playing in the field, and Alder looked up and he was like, Dada, they're playing the fighting game, which is something you guys do when you wrestle.
Yeah.
And I just saw your eyes fill with
It
tears. I
broke my
mean,
heart 'cause
just
I knew what was
immediately.
coming and Alder didn't know
He
what was
didn't
coming.
know. And I was over here like so scared that they were about to be traumatized for the rest of their life,
Just like you.
but we saw a billboard that said be a dad today, and it was a picture of Simba and Mufasa, and they both were like, we should watch The Lion King. I didn't even know that they knew what it was, and it was really hard for me to be like, it is time.
It is time.
Time for you to potentially be totally traumatized.
Well, they took it well. Better than you.
They love it.
Yeah.
They didn't even care.
No. Well,
so maybe they got your lack of empathy.
They were a little, you know. Yeah. They were a little like, what's going on?
I remember them being like, he comes back, right? Yeah. And I'm like, yes, in the clouds. You know, like.
It's not quite the same. But yeah, I mean, they can't play the fighting game anymore. It'd be kind of weird. He's like 900 feet tall now. I think we could end on this. How do you think we could age gracefully?
That is really hard. I mean, Jason, I think people write entire books about
that. Let's answer it in the last 2 minutes of this podcast.
Okay, how do we age gracefully? I think just with open arms and acceptance. Don't fight it.
Age?
Yeah.
Itself?
Yeah, don't fight it. And maybe notice how you're aging now. So that it's not as big of a shock. Like, you don't just wake up one day and you're like,
I struggle with that because I technically, well, I don't know about technically, but I feel like I did when I was 18. Mm. I'm 37. And that's, I mean, that I can notice, like, you know, I'm not as, I can't run as long or, like, my knee hurts or something. But that, I attribute that to not exercising lately. Mm-hmm. And so is it because I haven't been exercising or is it because I'm older? I don't really know.
See, I notice things about myself. Like, and I notice things about you. Do you want me to tell you?
Oh, come off it. No, you don't. I look great.
You look great. I'm just kidding. But do you want me to tell you?
Sure. What? Do I like?
No, the other day we were driving and I looked and I saw you were growing a little bit of hair on the inside of your ear.
Sweet.
And it's not, like, bad yet.
I've been waiting for those to come in.
But, you know, it was just, like, a little fuzzy on the inside of your ear where it wasn't like that before. And so that's
Do you want to know a secret?
What?
Do you want to know a secret?
What? I have it, too.
You have fuzz in your ear, too. No, I shave my earlobes.
You shave your earlobes?
I have to.
Is it because they're hairy?
Yeah.
But you didn't know that it was on the inside of your ear?
I didn't.
So, see, you noticed the aging.
I did notice.
And one other thing, can I tell you?
Sure.
It's about your ears.
Okay. Are they getting bigger?
No. But, like, you have a couple little lines right here by the, that harder. You don't have any wrinkles. It's not even fair.
I do.
Not really.
My forehead.
But you had, like, I see just like a couple little lines teasing the edge of your earlobe. Oh. It's sweet. I love it.
Really?
Yeah, it's really cute.
You've never told me that.
Yeah, I like it. Meanwhile, I can look at myself and see tons of signs of aging. I'm acutely aware of all of them.
You're hard on yourself. I think you look fantastic.
Well, thanks, dear. So maybe Timon and Pumbaa were onto something. Hakuna Matata.
Means no worries.
Yeah, maybe we just need to embrace aging with open arms. Not worry about it. Do that your best. Forget the rest.
That's the goal. Yeah. Well, I hope you don't leave this completely depressed and feeling encouraged, actually.
See, I feel encouraged. I don't see why anyone would feel depressed.
Well, we didn't talk about your disease for like 10 minutes, so... I'm kidding. No, I feel encouraged. I think it's great. Till I turn 40, then it's all just gonna hit me like a truck.
Nah. It's gonna be wonderful. We're in this together.
All in this.
No, please cut that out.
Got it.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to the Really Very Crunchy podcast. If you enjoyed this, be sure you leave a review and check out the show notes to see more from Jason and me.
All right. Have a great day.
Hey, before you go, I just wanted to tell you I have a book. It's called Really Very Crunchy, A Beginner's Guide to Removing Toxins from Your Life Without Adding Them to Your Personality. If you're interested in the crunchy lifestyle, you're a seasoned pro, or you just want a fun, entertaining read, head over to your favorite book retailer's website and just search Really Very Crunchy. You'll laugh, you'll cry, and maybe you might learn a thing or two. I should know because I did all three while writing it. Again, just search Really Very Crunchy wherever you buy books. Available in print, ebook, or audiobook.